time I fall, there'll be those who will call me a mistake. Well, that's okay, 'cause I hear a voice and it calls me redeemed. When others say I'll never be enough, and greater is the one living inside of me than he who is living in the world. In the world. In the world. And greater is the one living inside of me than he who is living in the world.
praise. Say every praise. It's to our God. Y'all know how we do it. Take it up and praise. It's to our God. Every word of worship. With one accord. Come on, say every praise. Every praise. It's to our God.
Every praise. creation, silently articulate, with a thousand tongues to lift one cry. Then from north to south and east to west, we'd hear Christ be magnified.
Good morning, church. It's good to see you. Thanks for joining us this morning at Trinity. We praise the Lord for a new day. God gives us breath in our lungs. He gives us the opportunity and the blessing to worship Him together in community this morning. There is truly something special about that. And so we will worship God in many ways this morning. In just a moment, I'll read from His Word as a way to call us into worshiping Him. So then, of course, we worship Him through song. We love to sing songs of praise and worship to Him together here at Trinity. And, you know, we worship God through our prayers and even through our fellowship. And so it's good to see so many people just reconnecting. Maybe you haven't seen each other in a week or a few weeks, but remember, we have a coffee fellowship time before service. We offer that at 9:45. Every Sunday morning, and of course after service as well, just a good time to get reconnected, because it is important, isn't it, for us to be reminded, just being together, that we are in this together and that we are called to live life in this faith community, encouraging each other, helping each other, and challenging each other. And that actually is our theme for this morning through our worship and through our time in the Word, that God uses us to be a blessing to others, as others have blessed us. So let us begin by being blessed by the Word of God. A reading from the Old and then the New Testament from Psalm 32. This is the psalm in its entirety. Psalm 32, a psalm of David. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever, heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they will not reach him. For you are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose trappings include bit and bridle to hold them in check. Otherwise, they will not come near to you. For many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, loving kindness shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones, and shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. Reading from the Old Testament. And now, a passage from the New. Galatians, Paul's letter to the church in Galatia, chapter 2, verse 20. For I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Would you stand with me now as we pray into a time of worship through song? Father, thank you for your words to us this morning, as they work to prepare our hearts and ready our minds for a time with you. God, perhaps some of us here are feeling that hurried stress and anxiety of even trying to get to church this morning. You have purposed in our hearts to be here, and we're grateful for that and the moving of the Holy Spirit. But Lord, now we want to lay aside all those things that may be distracting us from setting our eyes on Jesus. Father, as we move into a time of singing songs for you, we're reminded from your word that there are songs of deliverance, songs that you sing over us, songs you put in our hearts, songs on our lips, praising you for our Redeemer, our Deliverer, Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for delivering us from evil. Thank you for delivering us from the temptations and distractions and dangers of this world. Thank you for being our deliverer. But God, now we are reminded that in Jesus Christ and Him alone, we have new life. And it is even no longer us who live, but it is Christ in us. God, may we be reminded of that all throughout our time together this morning. Lord, we lift our voices now as one. We join our hearts together as one. And we pray that you would be blessed. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So let's sing songs of praise to our God.
What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. For my
I can see.
Father God, you are our almighty fortress. Thank you that you go before us, and nothing can stand against the power of our God. We sing that truth this morning, God, and we sing it, and we stand here in the midst, Father God, in the midst of that great power, your presence. Thank you for being here with us, God. We continue to worship you and praise you, our Redeemer, our reconciler, our deliverer. Thank you, God, and we praise you. We praise you in the name of Jesus through the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's all for the glory of the Father. Amen and amen. Take a moment to say good morning to somebody next to you. Good morning.
Jesus, a name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy, holy, there is no one like you, there is none besides you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.
All right, praise the Lord for a great time of worship and fellowship. Hallelujah. We can sing praises to our Almighty God, for He is worthy. Praise the Lord. Again, thank you for joining us here at Trinity this morning. What a blessing it is to be together, to fellowship, to commune together, and of course to worship. So we praise the Lord. So as we make our way back to our seats and our next generation of kids make their way down the hall, and we praise God for those that work with them and for our kids, let's always be praying for them, the next generation, as they have their time of worship in the Word, and of course there are some songs down the hallway. We're grateful for them. As we continue to see more and more children here at Trinity, what a blessing it is. And we are reminded that scriptures tell us that we are to commend the mighty works of God from one generation to the next. And so that's what we're doing. Another reason, well, a big reason why we love to have the children from the Trinity Kids Ministry join us during worship so we could all be worshiping together. That's really important. Here at Trinity, we have three core values that are very important to us. Learn, grow, and serve. That's how we pursue being disciples of Jesus Christ. Once we have put our faith and trust in Him and Him alone for salvation, we are then called by Jesus Christ to be followers of Him, to be disciples, right? When He says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me, right? The hard work of following after Him. But as we've been seeing in our study of Matthew, that hard work, of course, is all worth it because He is worth it. And so we praise God for this ability to gather, to learn the truth, to grow in faith, and then to serve. And to serve one another. And that will be part of our theme from the scriptures this morning in our study of Matthew, is what does it look like to serve others, and especially the body of believers. But before we dive in, just a few things to sort of get caught up on here in the life of Trinity. We will have a work day next Saturday. We like to do a few of these throughout the year. So next Saturday, the 15th, we'll be gathering here from like 8:30 till about 12. We have a lot of projects that we'd like to tackle and accomplish next Saturday. And so many are outside. There's a bunch of sort of preparation we have to do for the spring season, some cleaning and some clipping of things. A lot of work outside, but many inside projects as well. And so if you're able, even if you can only stay part of the time, we'd love to have you come and join us. That, again, that is next Saturday, the 15th. It's up on the website for the information, and you'll get an email and text as a reminder. But just keep that on your mental calendars. Put it on your calendars as well. Next Saturday, a work day here at church to get a lot done as we start looking ahead towards spring. Yeah, it's important. And, of course, today was daylight saving time started. And, boy, do we want to just thank the person that came up with that idea. And was that great? When you woke up this morning, weren't you feeling thankful that you lost an hour of sleep? It was so good. But we are thankful and praising God to be here together. Just a reminder, I mentioned this a few weeks ago, but you know, as I tell you, I like to brag to other pastors in the area about how generous we are as a church in our time and our giving towards each other, and also financially. And so we are a very generous church, and just want to thank you for, if you were here at our business meeting a few weeks ago, you were able to see in our budget and learn that our fellowship fund that we give to help people in need here at church is over $30,000, and we are praising God for that, and just thankful that everybody is so generous, so we're able to help people along the way that are in need. And we've all been there before and been a recipient of that. And so, but we wanted to mention too that if for a time or a season you wanted to divert your funds to something else at church, just be mindful that you can do that if you like. We are something that we mentioned at the business meeting that we, the missions team is trying to and praying about purchasing a van for the church that we can use for our outreach events. As those continue to grow and expand and grow in number and size, to be able to get us all there. And we have a lot of supplies and equipment that we bring each time. And some in the ministry are using their own vehicles. And so that's something that you can then give towards as we prepare that. And you'll be hearing more about it. But if you check our website and see all that we have going on, you'll see other opportunities to give here at Trinity. But thank you for being so generous. And just consider how we may be able to do that together. Also, note that regarding our missions team, there's a lot going on. We have now a regular monthly outreach in addition to the special ones that are planned. So we will have two every month, two opportunities. One is on the third Thursday of every month in Tom's River. Some of you have been to that, and it's an amazing outreach. You can learn more on the website, but you have an opportunity to go down to Tom's River and to serve people and to help people that are struggling with homelessness, that are part of the unhoused population in that area. And there's sort of a gathering of other ministries and faith-based ministries and from the town and the county to help people get connected to resources that can truly lead to life change. And so we go and bring blessing bags and help to serve those, serve some food, and of course offer the gospel of grace that leads to true and everlasting life change. Amen. And so notice that. That's on the third Thursday of every month. But this month, our special outreach is to the Atlantic Coast Nursing Home. And that is on the 23rd. But that's a Sunday, the 23rd of March. And so there's a few spots left, but you need to register for that one. They kind of limit the size of the group. So check that out. That's from 2 to 3 on that Sunday, but another opportunity to serve. And then finally, as I was mentioning, we continue to pray for our Trinity kids. They are beginning preparations for an Easter program, so they'll be blessing us on Easter Sunday with helping us to worship the Lord, and so we look forward to that. And on April 12th, we will have our annual Easter egg hunt that they are putting together. It's become a very popular event for our kids. They bring a lot of friends, so it's quickly turned into a wonderful outreach event as well. And so they will need help with that and just volunteering. So look for more information, but that's on Saturday, April 12th at 10 a.m. that morning, our annual Easter egg hunt. And there's always an opportunity to share the gospel and invite people from the community and friends. So be on the lookout for that, especially if you have kids grandkids or people from your neighborhood you want to invite. So you can always check out more. There's always more going on at Trinity that I can mention on a Sunday. Just check our website at trinityallenwood.com. This morning, we will continue in our series in Matthew. So if you would, turn with me in your Bibles or on your Bible app, if that's how you access the scriptures, and turn to Matthew chapter 10. And in Matthew chapter 10, we see this very simple but profound principle we get from the Lord Jesus, that there is great simplicity in serving others. And in Matthew chapter 10, specifically verses 40 to 42, it's the end of the chapter, we will see that Jesus is, he's finishing up his final instructions to the 12 disciples that he is sending out, as he had said earlier, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he's giving them instructions to go out on their very first missionary trip or journey. And I was just talking about our missions team here and the missions ministry and all that we try to provide for ways to learn, grow, and serve together. Well, the disciples were with Jesus for about a year or so, and Jesus was training them. And he was teaching them, and so they were learning and they were growing together. But now it was time that they go out and serve. That Jesus was commissioning them for the first time, sending them out with a very specific task, with very specific instructions. And Jesus was encouraging them, but also warning them. But now we see he ends with a great word of encouragement in these few verses. And this will be our text for this morning as we look at the simplicity of service. Jesus will remind the disciples in our text for this morning that even the smallest act of kindness can change the world. Frederick III was the elector of Saxony in the year 1486 in what is now known as Germany. In 1502, Frederick, who had sort of taken over for his father, this position of elector, he became the second in command, only to the king or the emperor, in this position. And he had a lot to say about other leaders in the church and in that area of the world. And so, in 1502, Frederick III, now in his newfound position, he founded a very famous school called the University of Wittenberg. Maybe some of you might have heard of that. That would become the early home of what we know today in church history as the Protestant Reformation, under a man named Martin Luther. So Frederick III, the elector of Saxony, he founded the school in 1502, and in 1517, just 15 years later, Martin Luther found his way to this school to study. He served as a monk and as a professor there at Wittenberg. If you remember, up till that point, for over 1,000 years, there was one church. It was the Roman Catholic Church. And so Martin Luther was, of course, a part of that church, and he was a monk and a teacher and a scholar, became a professor at this newfound University of Wittenberg, founded by Frederick III. Martin Luther, as many of you know his story, became enthralled with the scriptures and understanding the authority from the scriptures alone, as we know, also called sola scriptura. And Luther, of course, was instrumental in leading what he first wanted to be a reformation of his beloved Catholic Church, but which turned into something so monumental it changed the course of world history. So he began to speak out against the Catholic Church and something called the sale of indulgences, and Luther was concerned about some of these abuses in the rule and authority of his beloved church. And of course, we know later on came the creation of the printing press and everything changed. But why was that time so important? See, in 1521, as Luther had been teaching and learning and being a professor at the University of Wittenberg, he began to teach some things that the Catholic Church didn't like, and many of you know how that story goes, but part of that story is really something that's untold, but there was an act of kindness by one man who helped to change the future of the world and church history in particular through Martin Luther. So in 1521, Martin Luther was summoned to a council called the Diet of Worms, and it was a formal deliberative assembly that he was to appear in front of the Holy Roman Emperor Charles V. How about that? I think you'd be a little nervous about that, wouldn't you? So this great assembly asked Luther, very simply, to denounce and renounce his criticisms of the church, and specifically Pope Leo X. So Luther went on to defend his writings and refused to recant them. So the emperor issued an edict that condemned Luther, banned his spread of his ideas, and called for him to be arrested. But as the story goes, Luther found a secret benefactor in Frederick III, the one who founded the very school where he was teaching. Frederick wound up giving Martin Luther safe passage and haven at one of his castles called Wartburg Castle, after Luther had been excommunicated and was being hunted down. Frederick III used his expertise in political relations to stall Luther's punishment, to give him safe haven, which allowed Luther time to translate the Bible into German so that people would have the Word of God in their very own common language. Luther's actions would not have been possible without the friendship, the protection of Frederick III, who became known after that as Frederick the Wise. See, Frederick's actions are so unique, also in the fact that it's known from history that Frederick remained a lifelong devotee of the Roman Catholic Church. He was not converted during the Reformation, but yet he was a leader of principle and believed very simply that Luther deserved a fair trial and was being unjustly persecuted by those in power. And so just very simply, out of the kindness of his heart and his understanding for simple justice, he arranged for Luther to be hidden for about a year, long enough for Luther to translate the Bible into German. And of course, that then, and the continuance of the Protestant Reformation, changed the course of history. One act of kindness, to just give a place for Luther to be, to stay, for Frederick III to use his political powers of persuasion to stave off Luther's arrest and punishment, enough time for the Bible to be translated into German, the common language of the people of the day. What an amazing story, because often behind the scenes of people that we know to be world-renowned, so many people know about Martin Luther, but how many of us know the story of the part that Frederick III played in Martin Luther's story? See, all of us have a story, don't we? I'd like you to think just for a moment, and as I continue to kind of bring us into the focus of God's Word for this morning, think about somebody or some people, very special people in your life that played a role that maybe a lot of people don't know about, but that were pivotal in being used of God to bring you to where you are today, especially to lead you to understanding who Jesus is. Our passage for today, again, found in Matthew 10, 40-42, it says this. You can read it. I'll read it from the screen. You can read it in your version as well. Again, this is the end of the instructions of Jesus to the first 12 of the disciples as he's sending them out on their own for the first time. And he ends by saying this, "He who receives you receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever in the name of a disciple gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water to drink, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward." We'll see that in the beginning of Matthew 11, Jesus then departs from them. And so he's given them his final instructions. So up to this point, where have we been? Well, in the beginning of our study of Matthew, our journey through this gospel, we call this series King and Kingdom because Matthew is giving an account of Jesus as the king, come to offer his kingdom to God's people, the people of Israel. Matthew is recounting the very Jewishness of Jesus, and he's sharing this gospel, writing this gospel account to a very Jewish, now believing group of believers. And so everything about Matthew is very Jewish in nature in that sense. And of course, the people of Israel had been looking for and longing for their king, to usher in the kingdom that all of the Old Testament prophets had prophesied about and had promised. They were waiting for this glorious kingdom that they had often described in detail. And now Jesus, their king, comes on the scene and offers the kingdom. And Matthew is recounting that. And so in the first four chapters of Matthew, we saw sort of the personhood of Jesus and why he is able to be called the king. What are his credentials? And we saw that in the first four chapters. And we saw his genealogy and his calling into ministry. And then Matthew 5, 6, and 7, right? The great Sermon on the Mount. We spent many weeks going through that. And Jesus is teaching us the principles of kingdom living. He's saying, this is what I expect of the citizens of the kingdom that I am offering, that is to come. And so we learned about the Beatitudes and what it looks like to be kingdom citizens here on earth while we await that future kingdom. And then in Matthew chapters 8, 9, and 10, which we just finished, we see Jesus teaching of his great power and how he is then giving that power in many ways to his disciples and saying, now go. So in a sense, this is the culmination of the first 10 chapters of Matthew, right? As we see Jesus and who he is and his personhood and his ministry. Now he is teaching and raising up disciples and saying, now you are ready to go. Have you ever been taught something maybe by your parents or maybe at work and you've been given instructions to do something you never did before and then all of a sudden your instructor, your supervisor, your parent says, now go ahead and you try it. And you're like, wait, I'm not ready. I need more time. I need more preparation. But at some point, you need to step out and go. The disciples would have felt like that. I mean, they had spent over a year with Jesus and walking with him and eating with him and laughing and crying with him and just learning from him. You imagine now Jesus says, go, and he departs, and they're like, okay, I guess we're ready. That would have been frightening for them. So Jesus, in chapter 10, as we've seen the last few weeks, Jesus encourages them, and he says, God will provide for you through the Holy Spirit. Don't even take extra for what you have. God will provide. He tells them they don't have to fear, because the truth that they are bringing will win out. But he also warns them and says that truth will be attacked and people will attack you and mock you because they're doing that to me. Remember that? And so he's preparing them. As we saw last week, Jesus was setting clear expectations so that they would go out with great confidence. And they were able to go and do what God had called them to do. But now, as we reach the end of Matthew 10, the question would be, how would the nation of Israel respond to their king and now respond to the king's messenger? See, that's what we are, church. How do we apply this to our lives today? We are representatives of the King. We take part in that long line of disciples where we are now called out. We are called to go bring the gospel message of grace to the world around us. And yet we take things like the Beatitudes and we take the Sermon on the Mount to heart and say, how should we be living and acting and thinking? What is our motivation until Jesus returns? Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 5, 11 and 12. Listen to these words. He says, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you. Do you consider that a blessing? I was reminded this weekend that there are many believers around the world in countries where they are greatly and heavily persecuted. When they read scriptures like this, they are encouraged because it means they're doing something right. Perhaps we read a passage like this and we get discouraged. Is there persecution coming? Is it going to happen to us? Well, why shouldn't it if we're representing Jesus Christ? We've been afforded great freedoms and luxuries here in this country, and we thank God for that, but yet we read the words of Jesus himself, and he says, blessed are you when people not only insult you, but persecute you. He goes on to say, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever lost a job or a friendship or even a family relationship because you have shared and lived out your faith? Jesus says, rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. Because don't we often look for our rewards here and now? We want our rewards now, so we can enjoy them now, don't we? Remember what Jesus said to the Pharisees about that. He said, oh, you get your reward. You want it now, you'll have it now. But Jesus is showing them about eternal rewards, the eternal perspective. Church, as we go through our daily lives, are we just looking down at the space that we occupy, the space where we are? Or are we also looking up to heaven, keeping our eyes on Jesus, looking for his glorious return? We are to keep looking up, waiting eagerly for his return. But Jesus says, we are to rejoice and be glad because there are eternal heavenly rewards for those who are blessed by living out the faith. He says at the end of verse 12 in Matthew 5, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. We should expect nothing else or nothing less than for that to happen to us. See, we represent Jesus wherever we go. You know, we mention often these monthly opportunities to learn, grow, and to serve. But see, that's not just the only time we are on mission for God. Do you realize, church, that we are on mission 24/7? We don't wake up and go out of the house and put our Christian hat on and say, okay, now we're ready. I mean, we represent Christ every moment of every day. How about when we wake up and we greet our spouses and our family? We are representing Jesus. We are to have that kingdom mindset that there are eternal rewards all the time. That we are being sent out by Jesus Christ himself. See, Jesus had taught the disciples and spent all that time with them, so there's training involved, and then he sends them out and says, go. That's inevitably what is supposed to happen. But all the while, we are told in Scripture to eagerly await for Jesus' return. It's as if Jesus is saying, until I come back, here's what I want you to be doing. You know, when Jesus sends out the 12, we need to understand a bit of the context of what it would have been like for them. See, in the first century, the accommodations for any kind of traveler, especially now somebody on mission for Christ, the accommodations were often unavailable, especially in all these smaller towns. If there was any kind of established lodging, it would have been very expensive. They wouldn't have the money for that. There would have been a lot of immorality that it would have been going on in these establishments. It would have been very unclean and unsanitary. There wasn't many options for the traveler during those times. So it was much more common that travelers would stay in the home of a friend or a family member or somebody that maybe just wanted to hear their message. Earlier, a few verses earlier, Jesus had said, when you go out, look for a home of somebody that will welcome you in. And if they're welcoming to the message, then give your blessing of peace to that home. Remember that? Jesus is ending his instructions saying, you will be blessed. Other people will take part in this journey, in this mission, and they too will be blessed. He who receives you receives me. See, church, we are representatives of Jesus. We are ambassadors of Jesus. When we are invited into somebody's home, the scripture tells us it's as if they're inviting Jesus into their home. Do you ever think about that? That can be a very humbling and sobering thought. But see, the missionaries during that day, the first 12, they would have been looking for somebody's home to stay in. And Jesus is saying, they will be blessed as well. Give them the blessing of peace over their home, for there are eternal rewards for them as well. And he ends the passage by saying, even if somebody gives a simple cup of cold water, he says to one of these little ones, meaning these humble disciples, these new disciples, if somebody just gives you a cup of cold water, truly I say, he shall not lose his reward. You know what this means, church? It means that God sees. God sees and knows the things that we're doing for him and for his cause and for his kingdom. He, of course, sees our heart, but he knows what it is that we are doing, especially when we open our doors, whether it's physically the doors to our home or the doors to our heart, or we are generous in any way to those within the body of Christ. There is a great blessing. Those who open their homes and open their doors and welcome those who are sharing the gospel, Jesus says, will also be taken care of. There is a great blessing in being hospitable. Some have the gift of it, a spiritual gift, but yet we are all called to be hospitable in every way, especially to a brother or sister in Christ. But think about this. Jesus is giving this great picture of our close, intimate association with him. For Jesus to say these words that he who receives you receives me, like, we're representing Jesus where we go. How often do we think about that? And what does that mean for the way that we act? The things that we say and do? What does it mean for our heart attitude? Because then he goes on to say, he who receives you receives me. He says, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. Wow. We are representing Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit within us, and the Father, the whole Trinity we represent. Think about that close, beautiful, intimate association we have with Jesus Christ. He sends the 12 out, but he is certainly with them. He loves them, has compassion on them, wants to see them succeed. He is entrusting them with the good news as he does with us today. Church, ever think about that beautiful, beautiful treasure that we have? Jesus entrusts us with the very gospel of grace. That means that each one of us is highly important to Christ and his mission. Think about that. We all play a role. We all have gifts. We have talents. We have treasures to offer and to give. What are we doing with them? Are we willing to support the spread of the gospel of grace? There is a great simplicity in serving the Lord. It could be a small act of kindness, like Frederick III, rescuing Martin Luther, giving him time to rest. He takes the opportunity to then translate the Bible into German, and the whole world has changed. People's lives, think about how many people's lives were changed. They could now read the very word of God they were never able to read before. We can't even imagine it. A simple act of kindness, when motivated by faith and love and grace, is seen by God and remembered and rewarded. That's what Jesus is saying. You remember the writer of Hebrews? We're not sure who the writer is. Famously says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, let love of the brethren continue. The brethren means the group of believers, the church. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have even entertained angels without even knowing it. Did you ever host a party and angels show up? I think he was making a direct correlation to what happened in Genesis 18. Remember Abraham, Sarah, and Lot? We see that Abraham is just kind of hanging out in his doorway. He's hanging out one day, and all of a sudden, three people show up. He recognized them to be angels. He quickly goes and bows before them. He sees their great authority and provides them food and drink. Quick, Sarah, let's make some food and bread, and I'll get them something to drink. And then, of course, they bless them with the news that Sarah will have a child. That's that whole passage where she laughs and scoffs, like, you know how old I am. But we see that beautiful, simple story that divine encounters can happen in ordinary circumstances. So that is why I said earlier, we are on mission for God, the cause of Christ 24/7, because we never know when God is going to use us and provide that divine encounter in perhaps even ordinary circumstances. So the question is, how are we participating in the mission? Are we using our gifts and talents and abilities for Christ for the purposes of the church? As we are called to very simply, see, the purpose of the church is pretty simple. We gather to be equipped as we learn from the Word of God. We learn, grow, and then we serve. We equip and then evangelize. We gather together to worship, to glorify God. We get stronger in our walk of faith, and then we go out beyond these four walls and we tell others about Jesus. We are simply to introduce people to Jesus Christ. Jesus had trained these 12 disciples, and then he said, it's time to go out. Church, what, think about this, what one small act of kindness was done to you somewhere in your life? Something that changed your life? Was there one person that did one just small, we might consider small act of kindness that changed the course of your life? We all have stories like that. Well, let's ask that question then. What are some things that we can do to entertain angels? Not for gain in this world, but knowing that eternal rewards await. See, our motivations, church, should be eternal, not earthly. So yes, as we help people here and now in this life on earth, people that have real needs, and we provide things and help that take care of immediate needs, are we looking to the eternal? Are we introducing them to Jesus, who is the only true hope and peace that this world has? We are to, church, we are to see every person we meet as a potential angel. Do you ever think of that? Every person that we meet will live forever. Every person has eternal value. God created that person, made them in the image of himself. Is that how we see others? Is that how we see all people? Everyone loved and created by God, beautiful in his sight. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him would not die, but have everlasting life. See, church, we never know what God is doing in somebody else's life. We can't make that assumption. You got to meet somebody and you're just talking to them. You don't know what's going on with them. Maybe today after church, you're going to go out to lunch and there'll be a waiter or a waitress or a hostess. Just think about it. What could God be doing in their life? You don't know what God is, who else God has put in their life to speak to them, to plant a seed. Maybe at the end of the meal, you say, hey, you know, we just came from church and just having a good meal. Thank you for your service. And we're just about to pray before we go. Is there anything we can pray for you for? Maybe something like that. A small act of kindness. You never know how it might change someone's life. 2 Corinthians 5:20, Paul says, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. So we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. See, Paul says we are ambassadors. An ambassador is somebody who represents their home country in behalf of them in another foreign land. And saying, this is what we value here in this country, but they represent the country in a foreign land. Church, we are, in all essence, we are in a foreign land, aren't we? Many ways, we are exiles. And yet we are called to represent the king of a different kingdom, the king of the kingdom that we represent here on this earth. How are we doing that? Are we willing to even give a cup of cold water to somebody to drink? Are we realizing there are eternal rewards, most importantly, eternal consequences, perhaps, for that person? Romans 12 says this, end with this passage. Paul says this in Romans 12. Listen to his admonition and encouragement. Romans 12, 9 through 13, Paul says, let love be without hypocrisy. How are we doing in that? Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. He's talking about the church. Not lagging behind in diligence and fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, and practicing hospitality. Paul is saying this is what it means to be on mission for God. Even one small act of kindness can change the world. Would you stand with me? There's a story told of an old man, perhaps you've heard this story, who used to go to the ocean to do his writing every morning, and he had a habit of walking on the beach before he began his work. So early one morning, he's walking along the shore after a big storm had passed that evening, and he found the vast beach littered with starfish, as far as the eye could see, stretching in both directions. But off in the distance, this old man, as he's walking, he noticed a small boy doing something. He couldn't quite make it out. But as the boy walked, he paused every so often, every few feet or so, and as he got closer to the man drew closer to him to see what he was doing. The man could see that the boy was bending down to pick up an object and throw it into the sea, and the boy came closer to the man, and he drew closer, and the man called out and says, good morning, young man. May I ask what it is that you're doing? The young boy paused, he looked up, and he said, I'm throwing these starfish back into the ocean. See, the tide washed them up with a big storm last night, and they can't get back into the ocean by themselves, the boy said. And when the sun gets hotter, they will die unless I put them back in the water. And the old man, having grown a bit callous with age and time, he said, young man, there must be tens of thousands of starfish on this beach. Are you really going to make much of a difference? The boy bent down. He picked up one more starfish, tossed it back into the water. He turned to the old man and smiled and said it made a difference to that one. Father God, thank you for our time together. God, may we be and act and think like that young boy. God, sometimes the task at hand may seem overwhelming. So many people in need, people around us with emotional scars, things that are going on that we don't even know about, people that are struggling physically and mentally. God, we don't know what it is you're doing in their lives, but God, we pray for and thank you for those divine encounters God, may we be found useful for you and for your mission, that we would have that mindset that each person we meet has an eternal destiny and has such great value in your eyes. Created them, you did, in your image. God, may we see others the way you see them. God, may we not be overwhelmed by the great task at hand, but may we be willing to represent you with just the people that you put in front of us. In the simple situations, God, may we be reminded of often just the simplicity of service and serving you, that even one small act of kindness, God, can change the course of history if you want it to. God, may we be found learning and growing and serving you and serving others when you return. We look forward to your return. We say, come, Lord Jesus. But until then, we want to remain on mission for you with a message that doesn't change. The message of the simple gospel of grace, that whoever believes in Jesus, who he said he is, the very Son of God, and that he did what he said he would do, die on the cross for our sins and come back to life, that if we believe in him for that, and that he did it for us, we have eternal life. God, may we be willing to share that, to live it out, and for you to get all the glory. We pray these things through the leading of the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thanks for joining us this morning, church. Be blessed, and let's go in confidence. Praise the Lord.
Praise 'cause you're true. Praise 'cause there's nobody greater than you. sun sets free.